and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Office and Professional Employees International Union, AFL-CIO. It pays to belong. Wow, it's my moment.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. I want TV. I want radio.
Right.
I want us on the air 24 hours a day.
All right,
this is our moment.
That's a little much. However, I am up on the... What do we post here? Oh, Steph, please let listeners know if they click on the Talker Steph cover, they can now download the interview as a PDF, says our webmaster there at stephaniemiller.com. I'm Talk Radio's Woman of the Year.
You are, because they ran out of women.
Shut up. Also, up at stephaniemiller.com and sexyliberal.com, a great new article. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to say it's great. EdgeBoston.com, because I will be performing in Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. There may be a teensy few little scattered single seats left, so get it for the Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday at the Wilbur Theater. Very, very excited.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we've got upcoming shows, Santa Fe and Detroit with Aisha Tyler in August and on added second shows through the fall. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Follow us, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. Very, very exciting. All right. So... there we go. That's all about me, me, me. All right. In the meantime, you know what? It's Frisch. It is.
Carl.
Okay. Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Oh, good morning. I was just trying to pray the gay away.
How'd that go for you? How's that working
really
so far?
Well.
You have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Yes.
They need to be disciplined.
Yes, ring the bell, school's in, sucker. All right.
Hey, what float was he looking at for these barbarians?
Yeah, did you see the picture of him waving?
No.
No.
Like the homecoming queen, king?
I often wave with both arms.
Straight men do not wave like that. Seriously.
What was he waving at?
I don't. It was at some parade or something. He was there with Michelle, and he was just waving, and his wrist was bent way
heavens.
Too far.
Oh, heavens. Did you see someone sent us a Photoshop fun of him singing clang, clang, clang goes the trolley?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm going to be posting that.
All right, thank you. Now,
ding, ding, ding goes the ding. I really hope he's not gay or ex-gay or whatever.
Oh, honey, I think Princess Cruise has sailed.
I don't want him on our team.
Now, Carl Frisch, you write of the debt crisis. Deadbeat congressional Republicans manufactured our default crisis. By the way, you know my Lawrence O'Donnell, that Bullets promo was my porn, and now his explanation of the debt crisis is my new porn. It makes me so hot how he just describes how the president really kicking their ass, if you don't mind my saying
so. Well, it's a bit of rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a rope-a-dope. I mean, they keep on coming in and asking for things, and he keeps on saying, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they storm out. My favorite was everybody getting all newsy yesterday, saying that it was news that the president had walked out in his own home.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what they would have said if he'd thrown them out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and you can just hear that little twerp Eric Cantor interrupting the president. It's just like, ugh. But at any rate, you write, we shouldn't be referring to our current fiscal nightmare simply as the need to increase the debt ceiling, when in fact it is a GOP-manufactured default crisis. Absolutely. Debt ceiling, as you point out, been raised 72 times over the past century. Now with Republicans in control of the House and with a filibuster in the Senate, suddenly we find ourselves in the midst of a debate, this time under President Obama, which only goes to show you that nothing Obama does will be met without controversy from conservatives. And here's my favorite Carl Frisch line of the week. He could take his young daughters ice skating for Christmas, and the right would accuse him of imitating Jesus by walking on water.
Go, Pally. Carl. Go,
Pally.
Carl.
Nicely done.
Well, it's true. I mean, these people are absolutely bonkers. And, you know, my favorite is when they try to sound rational and they say, well, why don't we just pay for the things that are important right now, and we'll get to an agreement eventually. We'll just, you know, we'll pay for our troops, and we'll pay for our Social Security checks, and we'll get to an agreement. Here's the problem with that, and this just shows you how baloney and BS this whole notion of an economic conservative is. It will still tarnish our perfect credit rating, and that will add billions and billions of dollars to our national debt, which they obviously don't care about.
Yep, absolutely. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Newt Gingrich, frankly. on the Laura Ingraham Show.
I'm deeply opposed to Senator McConnell's plan. First of all, it transfers enormous power to the president. Second, in the real world, it'll be easy for the president to get 34 Democratic senators to sustain his veto, so there will be no real cuts. The way it's written, I think, is basically a surrender by the Republicans.
Ha! So they're going a bat on the right about Mitch McConnell, right?
Right. I mean, I didn't know Newt was still allowed on television. I understand he doesn't have anybody to book him on television anymore. But, you know, this supposed, you know, olive branch from Mitch McConnell, I don't believe any of these things anymore, because it was only last week that you and I were talking about Speaker Boehner doing a 180, and now he's come back around. You know, Eric Cantor is basically the puppeteer here, and as long as he's got a financial stake in the government's inability to pay its bills, I don't think anybody should trust these people.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, there's so much posturing going on, Carl, it's hard to tell what the hell's going on. At first blush, it looks like, you know, McConnell's trying to save Republicans from themselves. You know, he said that he predicted if Congress fails to act, Obama will argue that Republicans are making the economy worse, and yes, and try to convince the public, maybe with some merit, if people start not getting their Social Security checks and military families start getting letters saying their service people overseas don't get paid, you know, it's an argument he has a good chance of winning, and all of a sudden we, the Republicans, have co-ownership of a bad economy. As Lawrence O'Donnell said last night, no, you have sole ownership of a bad economy. That's how we got here, you know?
Primary authorship. I mean, these people, this is their version of compromise. We will give you the debt ceiling, something that we've given every president for the last 50 years, if you give us $4 trillion in cuts.
Which, by the way, is not something you're...
$4 trillion?
Right. It's not something you're giving the president... Right. You're not giving the president something. You're giving America something that we need as a country that we've, like, as you say, we've done 72 times. I mean, it's just stunning. All right.
Eight times under Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was only seven. Eight? Or, really?
I think it was eight times, but there was one year we didn't do it, and we did it twice in 2008.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. Thank you, Carl Frisch. All right, Sean Hannity.
Let me tell you, I don't buy into this issue either, that this August 2nd deadline...
Yeah, that's crazy.
...is going to... The world is going to come to an end. Pass the bill in the House, give it to the Democrats.
Look.
Wow. Wow. I love that. That, you know, math has no effect, Carl, and now a date, just no effect. Even though that is literally when the country runs out of money. Yeah, I don't believe that.
The Gregorian calendar, math, science, et cetera, they all have a verifiable liberal bias to Sean Hannity. But he said the world's going to come to an end. He should be happy, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I might presume that we wouldn't have anybody on Fox if everybody was left behind.
Exactly. I guess the rapture was a hard and fast date, but this default thing, that's kind of movable. That's not really. Yeah.
It's fungible.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
My credit card statements always say that I can pay when I want.
You feel like it. Yeah. All right. Eric Bolling on The Five.
Yeah.
Fear-mongering. I'm pretty sure President Bush never fear-mongered like this. Making threats.
Oh, he didn't threaten not to.
$2.6 trillion sitting there. Come on. America was certainly safe between 2000 and 2008. I don't remember any terrorist attacks on American soil during that period of time.
Between 2000 and 2008?
2000 and 2001, it's 2008, except there was that one, Carl. When was that? 2001? Did he just say that?
Yeah,
I don't think Bush ever fear-mongered and there were no terrorist attacks on our soil between 2000 and 2008? Wow.
Yeah, no. They also, I love that they say our soil, you know.
Yeah.
Forget the ones that were committed against our troops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Forget the ones against our allies in Europe. But you know what I love about The Five, when they go to all five cameras to show the reaction photos, it's kind of like watching an inbred Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch on crack. Isn't that cute? That is so.
The Five reminds me of like an inbred The View.
Here's the story of five inbreds.
Yeah. It's like the View with all Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
I decided that I would bring a group of white wingers together and ask them for their views.
I decided to bring a bunch of white wing flakes together all on one show. I love the whole, like, you know, revisionist history. Like, yeah, thank God we all remember that Bush never fear-mongered about anything, including weapons of mass destruction or anything like that.
Well, also,
there was never any fear-mongering in the Bush administration. What?
Well, also, don't forget, we had 9/11, but we also had the anthrax attacks, which were never solved.
Yes.
That was a big terrorist attack.
Ah. Okay, that wasn't on our soil. That was actually in letters. It never actually hit the soil. Okay. Gretchen
Carlson. Technically speaking.
Yeah.
Thanks, Deb.
Hello. Gretchen Carlson on
the check won't be in the mail. So is the president trying to scare you by increasing the debt by threatening Social Security? So coming up on our show, we will fact check that.
Ah, that's part of that. It's that Fox journalism, just those Fox questions. Yeah.
And by fact checking, she means just throw out a bunch of GOP talking points that are, you know, that go unchallenged.
Yeah, I love, in fact, Carl, I have these right in front of me, the screen captures from Fox and Friends, exploiting the elderly. Just a scare tactic?
Yeah.
That's literally the Chiron. That's journalism.
You want to know what's exploiting the elderly is when the Fox and Friends bring on the scantily clad women to talk about anything.
Yeah.
And they will shoehorn those nearly topless women into whatever story they can
Carl.
Get just to keep those Viagra-riddled 80-year-olds watching.
Carl, once again, I would give...
Not to their prime demographic.
Carl, once again, I would give everything I own, give up my heart, my home, if I could get into that Fox Chiron department and do some scampery. If I could just put in there, is this journalism? Should Rupert Murdoch be in jail? Just, some different questions in the graphic, perhaps.
Some people say that this phone conversation might have been hacked by News Corp.
Yes. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We return with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything everyone just said is either obvious or wrong.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Thank you,
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, we shortly return to Bender, my house husband, who's coming home today.
That's right. Oh, is he? Is he coming back to L.A.?
He's coming to Mom and
Dad. Would you?
Max and Fritz, Daddy. Okay, Carl Frisch. What? Carl Frisch rejoins us.
That's so weird.
Oh, he's so cute.
How's Dexter?
How's Dexter Von Frisch?
He's sitting here right next to me, chewing on a bone.
Aww.
Oh, Dexter Von Frisch. Okay, let's...
And you just moved near a new dog park, right?
I do. I live directly across the street from the dog park in DuPont Circle, so stalkers out there.
A bark park?
If you're cute, hit me up.
Oh, you know we love the bark park here on Stephanie Miller Show. All right.
I will tweet some photos of Dexter this evening.
Yes. Bark park. It's impossible for someone to say bark park and not repeat it. You know what I'm saying? Bark park.
Bark, bark.
See? Bark, bark. Bark, bark. Okay, let's finish up. Dick Morris, prostitute toe sucker on Fox and Friends.
If you reelect him, you're going to have four more years of what you got now.
But what he'll say, Dick, is that if I would not have had a Republican Congress or House, I would have been able to pass more stimulus. And had I been able to do that, I would have been able to create more jobs.
Yeah, well, it's like the alcoholic saying, if I could have had just one more drink, I would be fine.
Can you believe his name is Dick?
No, that's boy, that was the best baby naming book ever. Whatever Morris is.
The only reason that Dick Morris is so gung ho about getting rid of Obama is because he really wants to get back to writing books about the Clintons.
Yes.
It's the only thing he's done with his life since he was caught putting somebody else's toes in his mouth.
Yes, I know.
Oh boy.
I know. Just for his sake, I hope that rumor's true that they do a switcheroo with Biden and Hillary, because then, you know, he'll probably explode. Because then she'll be president for 8 years, and Dick Morris is back in the money.
Dick parts all over the place.
Yeah.
If he explodes.
Dick parts galore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't even do a Marcus Bachman joke there, because that's not really even appropriate. Let's finish up with Glenn Beck.
That ever happened in the days when you could trust the mob to solve these problems.
Those were good times.
Oh, remember when they just gunned people down in the streets and it was just the mob killing the mob? Oh, those days don't come back. Oh, man. Now you can't trust the mob even.
No.
I used to trust the mob more than I trust the President of the United States. Let me think about that. I may still trust the mob more.
Wow.
Wickedly entertaining.
He's given up any pretense of any sort of sanity now that he's just on the radio, hasn't he?
Well, he's on ham radio now, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, that concludes Right Wing World. But Carl, before you go, though, we got to talk about this... wow-wee, this Rupert Murdoch Fox News scandal. I mean, this is one headline after the other. 9/11 families, angry family members of victims of 9/11 attacks called for a U.S. investigation into allegations that journalists of British News The World sought to hack the phones of their lost loved ones. Just when you think this couldn't get more awful, right? Former deputy fire chief whose son was killed in 9/11 said, I think they crossed the line. They're trying to get messages from loved ones in the last moments of their lives. It's horrible and they should be held accountable. It's despicable and unethical. So Peter King becomes the first Republican, right, to call for a News Corps investigation.
Amazing. I mean, you know, he never does that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, you know what's, you can tell that News Corp is in a world of pain right now, because if you think about it, all the scandals they've gone through over the years, and this is the first time that they've actually done things that a normal news outlet would do, like, or news outfit would do. They've shut down a newspaper. They've issued lengthy apology statements. Typically what News Corp does is it has these aggressive PR people that go out and trash whoever's attacking them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, well, I mean, the headline even before, Bob Menendez has sent a letter to Eric Holder asking to investigate the attacking the 9/11 victims' phones. Let's see. He joins Lautenberg and Rockefeller in requesting.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's interesting. At first you wondered, was it hyperbole, all these Watergate comparisons? But I don't think so. I mean, this is, you know, you thought it was bad enough, a missing girl that ended up dead, that they're hacking into her voicemail and screwing up the police investigation and making her family think she's alive. But, you know, we all remember hearing some of these heartbreaking messages, right, on 9/11.
Yeah.
And the loved ones, the last calls to each other and that sort of thing.
It just shows you that Fox News, News Corp, related at publications, they have absolutely no interest in practicing journalism. They are into taking shortcuts. They're sloppy with their facts, if they even bother to check those things.
Right.
And this is the type of things they do. And when it first came out, going on almost 2 years ago, News Corp claimed that it was isolated to a few specific instances. In fact, you know, his protege to take over News Corp's European operations was the publisher of World of the News at the time. And now we find out that it could be, you know, these hacking situations could have been more than just a few handful of times, could have been thousands of times, and it could have been standard practice.
Right. So I think the question everyone's asking, Carl, is how does this affect Fox News here? Because, you know, we've talked forever about how this is not journalism. I mean, how is this going to impact Fox News, do you think?
Well, there's currently some shareholder lawsuits by American shareholders and News Corp over this and other things. It'll be interesting to see. Fox News has really yet to talk about this story. You know, I believe it was last week that, you know, Fox News airs online some of the go back and forth between the guests that isn't broadcast. And if you went online, Media Matters caught this exchange where these people were talking about all the news of the news that week on their media criticism show. And they brought it up and said, are we going to touch that? And somebody else said, not with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah. Hey, Carl, for those of us that are still, because I know a lot of people still trying to get their head around this whole scandal, what is it exactly? That's what I was wondering. How are they able to hack all these phones? So these were people that died in 9/11, and how did they get phone numbers? What is that about? It was voicemails that were left by the people that were killed?
Well, essentially what they were doing, I don't know how you hack a phone, but, you know, we've seen it in our country from time to time where celebrities have had the photos on their phones hacked or their Twitter accounts hacked or whatever. So essentially what News of the World was doing was breaking in somehow to these phones. And I imagine that the only reporting techniques they used were to come up with the phone numbers. And then they would listen to the voicemails from, you know, distraught family members, et cetera, to try and keep the ball rolling on their story.
Yep.
And in some cases, they were deleting messages.
Oh,
and
God.
Room for new messages.
All right, Carl, out of time. Out of time, honey. Talk to you next week. David Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Apparently, being
Stephanie Miller
involves more than just two arms, two legs, and the occasional major orifice.
It is. Enough about Tucson.
Yeah. What?
Hey. What? Mm-hmm. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free. Let's say I'm learning some on the road tips from Hal Sparks. Woof. Wowee. 1-800.
Tips for what?
1-800-STEP-12. Hey, looky who at the time. Why? Return. David Bender, our buddy, our pal. Return.
David Bender.
Means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return. David Bender.
Yay, David Bender. Yay. Yay, as Michelle Bachman would say, yay. And it's yay. Wow. Hi, David Bender.
Occasional orifice?
Yes.
I don't.
Is that what we're down to here?
Yes, that's what it's come to.
It's like that show. There was a show, remember, when we were growing up, which was around the time for me of Grover Cleveland, there was a show called Occasional Wife, and the idea was that, and apparently I'm occasional husband.
Yes.
Trotted out for social occasions and to prove to your boss that you actually are, in fact, married.
Yes. Indeed, that's you. Are you coming home today, aren't you, honey?
I am.
Oh, precious.
You know what, David? I think it's more to convince Max and Fred that she has a relationship.
Exactly.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Look, fake daddy's here.
Yeah.
I am a beard for the dog.
So
try and figure out a term for that. But you know what? Let's plunge right into.
Yes.
We talked at the very beginning of the week. We talked. It seems like a lifetime ago, but it was 3 days ago, the president was holding his press conference,
mm-hmm.
and people were beginning to panic. He's putting everything on the table. It's Medicare. It's Social Security. What is he doing? Why am I a Democrat anymore?
Well, right, and just when I thought, like, Lawrence O'Donnell's gun control promo was the only thing that could make me that hot. It could be political porn. His explanation of how the president's handling the debt crisis. Oh, God, I love that man.
I missed it. I've heard your description of it, but I've got to tell you, all you need to know is that Adam's apple is bobbing up and down uncontrollably right now.
Yeah.
Because what happened
yesterday? Why is no one listening to me?
Eric Cantor's Adam's apple got shoved right back down his throat by Barack Obama.
Yeah, what happened
last night?
Fill us in.
There are different accounts, one of which comes directly from Eric Cantor, but the White House is sort of toning it down only a notch, but basically saying the president looked at these guys. Remember, it was Eric Cantor who had walked out. He walked out of the Biden negotiations. It was Eric Cantor who's been, driving this. It's plain Eric Cantor intends to be Speaker, and he may be he's actually doing that job right now. Problem is, he's going to have the same situation that anybody trying to control the Tea Party Republicans is going to have. They are uncontrollable. They will not come to the table. But there's Eric Cantor sitting at the big boys' table yesterday with the president, and the president said, you know what? Enough is enough. Cantor was trying to get an extension, trying to do the exact same thing
said
he wouldn't do.
Continually interrupting the president is what we're told. It's just this little twerp. Seriously. I mean, it just – Andy's such a – I mean, you never thought you'd feel bad for John Boehner, but, man, he's got that he's got that shiv in his back from Eric Cantor, doesn't he?
He does. And you know what? It is hard to feel bad for John Boehner, and therefore I don't.
Right.
I will say this, though, and I think you played a cut of Newt Gingrich talking about how this has given away the store and how, it's a disaster for Republicans. If you let your mind wander back, this is exactly what happened to Newt Gingrich in a stare down with Bill Clinton.
Well, that's what McConnell was. I mean, what do you make of the McConnell thing? So, failure to raise the U.S. debt limit would ensure Barack Obama's reelection, said Mitch McConnell yesterday. We've got, Moody's saying they're, getting ready to downgrade our bond rating that could lead to higher interest rates immediately. So, right? I mean, McConnell went on the right-wing radio tour.
Well, I hate to do this, but I kind of agree with Dick Morris. You're never going to hear me say that. And it has nothing to do with toes. It has to do with it is absolutely true that if you give an alcoholic one more drink, if you give a terrorist one more capitulation,
If you give these people who are willing to hold the government hostage, the American people hostage, forget about the government. This is the American people. This is, as you say, military benefits, Social Security checks, education, every possible aspect of where the government is an extension of the quality of life for every single one of 300 million Americans. If they're willing to hold that hostage, they need to be held accountable. And the only, it's hitting bottom. It is the alcoholic reference. The only way that happens, Steph, is if, in fact, there are consequences for the behavior. If it's just rhetoric, then people come back and say it's just Washington and they're all
to blame. Well, I love that
the
right wing has turned on McConnell. Laura Ingraham told her she'd received emails likening him to Pontius Pilate.
Wow.
Well, not as many as likened him to Yertle the Turtle. But
You're a talking turtle!
Yeah, but still...
Did Pontius Pilate have an exoskeleton? I don't know.
That's just mean, y'all, to tell him to grow a spine.
I think
he can't grow a spine. That's why he has a shell.
I think Pontius Pilate ate lettuce.
I think he did.
But
we won't talk about it. Let's talk about what we think might happen.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is the day. The president has said if a deal is not done by Friday, a grand bargain. And
I'm telling you, it's this eclipse. Everybody's going crazy.
Well, and you know what? They've been talking about this as the president putting all these things on the table. When you're playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers, it may be that those things were never on the table.
Yeah.
They just looked like they were in order to tip over the board.
That's what Lawrence O'Donnell is saying, and this is what, you know, the headline, Obama playing Boehner versus Cantor, which I love that. Cantor and Obama exchanged harsh words, the story goes, as you were saying, during White House debt limit talks. Blah, blah, blah. Obama managed to drive a wedge deeper into the fragile relationship between Cantor and Boehner. Oh, I love this story. Cantor told the president he was none too pleased the details of a private presentation he made to White House officials had leaked to the media. Democrats, he charged had asked him to put together a list of spending cuts and revenue raisers discussed by Biden's committee, right? Only to take his work product, release it publicly. What? By contrast, he said the president had committed to his own plan on paper in the same way, but Obama had a pointed retort. He said he had shown Boehner a written list of specific proposals and assured that by doing so, he was sharing his ideas for a $4 trillion grand bargain. Obama's reply sought to exploit an existing point of tension between Cantor and Boehner, who hasn't kept the number two Republican in the loop. It's because Obama and Boehner met secretly, right?
Right.
Cantor was in the dark about this, so it made him look like a bigger boob than ever.
And remember, this was the relationship that was going on back in the day with the Army of Dick and Newt Gingrich. I mean, these things, this has been playing out, and these relationships, these tensions are sort of institutional. They're going to happen. But if you have a smart president, and we have a smart president, and you know whose name you don't hear a lot? You used to hear Rahm Emanuel's name a lot, but you're not hearing Chief of Staff Bill Daley.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a guy, a former Secretary of Commerce, this is a guy who understands these issues better than almost anybody, and he also understands how to get deals done in Washington. Here's what's going to happen. The president said when he walked out of the room yesterday, he said, we're done here. He said, don't push me, Eric. I'll take this to the American people. And he's going to get a welcome response because Quinnipiac poll was out, I think, yesterday saying that Americans still, 2-1, I think you reported on it, absolutely believe that this is George Bush's recession, George Bush's economy. They're not happy. They're not happy with where they are, but they are far less happy with the Republicans trying to do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's, political strategist extraordinaire David Bender, let's talk about the other big breaking news. President Obama raised $86 million for his for his 2012 reelection bid. He raised more than $47 million for his campaign, surpassing the $35 million all of his Republican rivals have publicly announced raising so far. He raised more than $38 million for the DNC. I mean, that's a big deal.
I don't know how to tell you this, but while you were on vacation, Max and Fred wrote checks.
Right, yes.
They were out of your checkbook, but they did send some money. You got to lock up the checkbook when you're gone. They normally
buy Factor gear just to piss me off.
They do that, and thousands of dollars worth of dog toys, chew toys arrive.
Yes.
From Amazon.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. That $86 million is impressive. It is however, not going to be the money that is raised by the campaigns that's going to decide this. You saw Mitt Romney report, what was it, 20-some-odd million in money he raised.
Yeah.
But the super PACs, the independent PACs, are raising as much, if not more, than the candidates. And that's really where this is. This is post-Citizens United.
Yeah, well, Jim Messina, the president's guy, pointed that out. The enormity of his war chest must be balanced against the staggering amount of Citizens United cash that will benefit whoever runs against him, right?
That is the new reality. That's what we're looking at. This is going to take more money than it would take to make Transformers 5. I mean, this is not a pretty picture. It is the reality.
But, you know, again, I'm Lawrence O'Donnell obsessed this morning. Yeah. But, you know, as he pointed out, I mean, here's been this big storyline. The president's lost his base. This is stunning. It's 552,000 people. Over 552,000 people have contributed. That's the most grassroots support at this point in the process than any campaign in political history. Roughly 260,000 of those individuals were new donors who had not given to Obama. So, you know, I've said, you know, just because I have to make everything about
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that the Sexy Liberal Show is success. It's not me, David. I'm just saying it's like there's something going on in this country between all these recalls, between this kind of money thus far. You know, that's all I'm saying is there is something going on politically, don't you think?
There's something happening here, and what it is exactly clear. What's going on is that the Republicans have overreached. You saw it in Madison where the Sexy Liberal Show kicked off. We now have actual tangible results that have happened since we spoke. The fake Democrats got creamed on Tuesday.
Yep.
And next
David,
month, August 9th, there's going to be a vote. And I think the Republicans are going to lose the state Senate.
David, I need to hold you through once again.
I'm holding.
Because I say so. All right. We will return to Vendor
after the
break.
He does what you say.
He's my house husband, 46. I often tell him to empty the dishwasher when he's at my house.
You have him trained better than you've trained Max and Fred.
I themed Rachel Maddow's political guru, and now he empties my dishwasher. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back. We return to Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow! This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. 1-800-STEPH-12, Tom in Illinois on Fox News. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going today?
Hello.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, I got something to say about Fox News. All you little Fox News fans out there, don't worry. They will tell you who to vote for president, but I don't think they're going to be around. I believe that they're going to fall. You already got one show off, and that was Glenn Beck. He was so far out of right field, he wasn't even in the ball game.
Yep. Yep.
But, you know, I used to watch Fox News, and I used to throw things at the TV. They used to get me so mad. And I want to know why they don't report on themselves.
That's been, you know what, you're probably right, Tom. That's been the one good thing about Fox News, Chris, is probably it's really helped the actual television business in the people have had to buy more new televisions as to having thrown projectiles at their
Didn't
television.
Jim Ward throw something at your plasma?
Yes, indeed he did.
Watching Fox News?
Mm-hmm. David Bender returns to us. Hello, David Bender.
What is your mom's bird going to do now that Glenn Beck is off?
He's going to have to masturbate to some other show on Fox.
The Five.
He's currently masturbating to. I'll have to check with her.
I'm really worried about the bird more than anything else. I mean, Glenn Beck can fend for himself, but that poor bird is left defenseless.
Exactly. What's your new porn material? You know.
It maybe could be Lawrence O'Donnell. There's a good idea. Can I conflate two things?
Yes,
we know
please.
We know historically that the real Tea Party, started in Boston.
Yes.
And the Sexy Liberal Show is going to Boston.
Saturday, yes, indeed.
On Saturday. So here's my idea. Maybe you've got two things. You've got historical fact, as opposed to Michelle Bachmann, who will make things up. Apparently, the Tea Party started with Lipton. But you do teabagging demonstrations across the country.
Yes, as a public service.
as a public service, wouldn't this be the time to give away free tea bags to the people of Boston?
We'll have to
maybe
come up with
testicles.
Yeah, we'll have to come up with a special teabagging. Now, you know, as I've said, can you write stuff like, is it, can, could it be more of an SNL skit that Michelle Bachmann is married to a hugely gay man who engages in ex-reparative, or Christian ex-gay therapy with government money as she crusades as an anti-government activist? Because does it get better than that?
No, you can't make it up, and even Al Franken, when he was writing for Saturday Night Live, couldn't have done this with Stuart Smalley.
Yeah.
And that's actually who, if you think about it, that's who Marcus Bachmann is. She's oversized Stuart Smalley.
Did you see this? We have to, so this is Second City?
Yeah, Second City posted this on YouTube.
On the road with Michelle Bachmann, Waterloo, Iowa.
Marriage is a cornerstone of our democracy. So Marcus and I take it very seriously.
We're super serious about it.
So serious, Marcus opened a clinic curing people of homosexuality.
Oh my God, you should see the results. It's crazy.
We are people who are obsessed with marriage.
We're obsessed with marriage and gay things and protecting stuff, all of that for some reason. Sometimes it's totally freaky, you know?
So if you want someone who is focused...
Like a laser.
Like a laser on marriage, insisting on it, and the value of sticking it out.
Come hell or high water.
Come hell or high water, think of Michelle and Marcus.
Oh, they're looking at each other. They're trying to kiss.
Oh. That awkward Michael Jackson,
yes,
Lisa Marie Presley.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're getting there. They're almost there. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, David. It writes itself.
I was in the room for the Lisa Marie Michael Jackson kiss.
Were you really?
The audience. Yeah, it was
awkward.
The MTV Awards.
Ooh. Oh boy.
And you know, you actually, people looked at each other. They looked side to side in the audience, going, "Did that just happen?
Did that? Oh boy." Yeah.
So, you know, look, this is and Chris, I heard your reaction on this. This is where it gets dicey. It's like in the days when we all know that Roy Cohn was working for Joe McCarthy and persecuting gay people when he himself was, as he'd like to say it, a straight man who slept with men. I don't know how I feel about the obvious sort of, you know, flamboyance of Marcus Bachmann being used as a cudgel.
Okay.
I hear you. It's just that I think, honestly, when we started joking about it, I hadn't seen or heard him. And you just think...
No one had.
Oh, dear God. I mean, seriously? Like, you can't... It's hard to ignore the huge comedy target. And wait, Michelle Bachmann, echoing your thought that it is not funny, David.
I am not here bashing people who are homosexuals, who are lesbians, who are bisexual, who are transgender. We need to have profound compassion for people who are dealing with a very real issue of sexual dysfunction in their life and sexual identity disorders. This is a very real issue. Mm. It's not funny. Mm. It's sad. Any of you who have members of your family that are in the lifestyle, we have a member of our family that is. This is not funny.
This is her in 2004.
Which member is she talking about? Clang, 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 goes the trolley.
It's
not funny!
It's not funny, Stephanie.
It is so not funny. And let's not look at the giant pink elephant in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the big rainbow elephant in the room. Please, let's not look.
It's going to be interesting to see how this is handled and how we deal with it. But, you know, it is always about the hypocrisy stupid.
Yes.
If in fact, he is going to be engaging in, and they did an undercover sting and showed that, you know, the people he claims are not doing reparative therapy are doing exactly that. That's what, you know, if he's engaging this, and this is the stuff that causes ultimately kids potentially to have suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's your fault. You're to blame. You're dysfunctional. If you do that, then you ought to be held accountable.
Yeah. Well, David, we've talked about that. And that's why, as you know, I've worked with the Trevor Project. And, you know, clearly you and I have talked about this before, that is the other side of this, that you can't help that there's this obvious humor side. But there's a side that is really, really serious that you're saying that's very sad, that's very harmful and
dangerous.
And, yeah. I mean, and like I say, and the hypocrisy of using government funds and Medicaid for this ridiculous, disproven reparative therapy, right?
Well, and let's take a look at what just happened there, because if my job is to give you the politics, let's look at the politics. Even the Republican Party, even this Republican Party, which your father would not recognize, has refused to sign on, except for Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum, to this marriage pledge, the family pledge from in Iowa. The guy who organized it is the one who recalled the justices for supporting marriage equality.
That's right. All right. David, all out of time. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson coming up on the big show. He is going to run again. Yay!
Yay!
1-800.
Yay! I don't think Michelle Bachmann would say yay to
that. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Lots of stuff up there about me. Me. I'm Talkers Woman of the Year. That article is up there. You can click and read the interview. It is up the Talkers. I'm the cover girl. I'm Radio's Woman of the Year, for God's sakes. I'm also, let's see, what's that? EdgeBoston.com. We put that article up on the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yep.
And Mama coming to Boston this Saturday for the Sexy Liberal Show at the Wilbur Theater. Just a tiny little smattering of single seats left, so get it now quick.
Progressives of Boston, does your heart yearn for Stephanie Miller?
Please come to Boston.
Well, weep no longer, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show World Tour is coming to Boston, Massachusetts, the city Michelle Bachmann calls the home of the Liberty Bell. On July 16th, at the Wilbur Theater, renew the spirit of the original Tea Party with the comic brilliance of John Fugelsang, Al Sparks, and Mama herself, Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district.
I can see Boston from my house.
Progressive fans, this is your teabagger cure, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in Boston.
This calls for a sexy party.
Mm-hmm. Get you sexy, huh?
Yeah.
Boston is so lovely this time of year.
And it's Title Town, you know. They've got titles coming out their yin-yangs.
Titles?
It's a bit of a sports town, I'm told.
Yes, it is.
Sports titles.
Thank you. What? Book titles? They have lots of libraries there, too.
Then Aisha Tyler joins the tour in August, Santa Fe. August 6th, Detroit, Saturday, August 20th. Asheville, North Carolina, coming up September 24th. Seattle. Oh, dear God, we've added shows. We've added second shows in Seattle. We are September 30th and October 1st. Mama's 50th birthday weekend. Better be there.
Oh, dear.
L.A., October 21st and 22nd. Added a show there. San Francisco, Friday, October 28th and Saturday, October 29th. Just added a second show there. And they're almost all sold out.
Yep.
So hurry, get it. Austin, Saturday, November 12th. And Buffalo, New York, Mama's hometown, November 19th. Get it. They are literally selling out almost everywhere. So hurry. Hurry. All right. Oh, speaking of the Sexy Liberal Tour, Roland, our tour director who knows everything about everything.
He does. He's very smart, that one.
Yeah. Send us some fun facts on the Fox News scandal. Because I was asking, because, you know, I'm not technical.
Right.
How do you hack someone's phone? It's a horrible story.
You don't even know.
Hack 9/11 victims' phones. Yeah. I mean.
You don't even know how to get into your own voicemail.
I can't get in my own voicemail. I don't know if anyone's left me a message in years. He says how they were hacking, per The Guardian, all voicemail for phones in the UK are set to 0000 as the PIN, and most people weren't resetting their PIN until last year when UK mobile phones no longer had preset codes. So basically they would call the voicemail setting and just try the code, got lucky most of the time. That's how so many people were affected, 4,000 plus in the UK as currently rumored. Thank you, Roland.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oh, dear. Yes, that's... All right, let's see. Lisa writes, she's Gabby from the live blog. That's her...
good, okay.
That's her handle, as they say on the blog.
Her handle?
I don't know. Kids, it's about kids, for God's sakes.
Yes. I believe the children are future.
Gabby from the chat room.
Listen, is she on a CB in the
70s? I don't know.
She has a handle?
I don't. Hi, my name's Lisa. You can call me Gabby. What?
What?
I don't know.
10-4, good buddy.
Hi, yeah. Jim. Thanks for showing up 4 minutes late. Thanks for coming. 4 and 30 seconds. 4 minutes, 30 seconds. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I decided to do a shower and shave today.
What about, no? That might be later. Okay. Hi, this is a magical story. Kids have to be, can I have some magical story music, please? Kids have to be taught to hate mama. Over the weekend, my kids and I watched Glory. The first grader began asking questions about the war, and I explained about slavery. He simply couldn't wrap his head around the idea a human could possibly own another human. He just kept saying, but they're people.
Aww.
One of my teenager's friends is a young gay man, and he spends a lot of time at our home. We watched the coverage of the gay pride parades together, and the first grader was once again puzzled. He kept saying, but how does who Joey loves change who I love?
Aww.
Kids have to be taught to hate. Their brains just don't get the concept. Gabby.
They've been exposed to liberal propaganda.
So
I haven't seen the light.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Were burning in the lake of fire.
Jim, as I was mentioning to Chris earlier, I'm having a bad...
life.
I'm having a bad life. And it's this eclipse, I'm telling you.
Eclipse?
It's going to be over tomorrow, I think. I don't know. But anyway, I...
Eclipses... Yeah, are not multi-day events.
Jim, check this out.
What?
Look, I'm becoming skeletal remains. Can you see that?
Yeah.
I'm skeletal remains
the
now.
The chat room can see it, too.
This is news?
Yeah. Skeletal remains. Look at that. I should show my sports bra to the chat room.
You should. Do
Brandi
it.
I Chastain.
Did. Oh, yay.
I just did.
Yeah, you're Brandi Chastain.
Yeah. Who was one of the commentators
and I haven't
for the,
even scored a goal.
Women's World Cup. Yeah. Oh, Rachel used the own goal concept to describe what's going on with Boehner and the Republicans. It was very funny.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I love her whole thing about he's just bad at his job. John Boehner, you may like him, not like him. He's just not good at what he does.
It doesn't seem to be his job anymore. Kanter's just taken over.
Yeah.
I know.
It's an all about Eve kind of thing. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, it is awesome. It's awesome.
What's
anyway.
Your R, John? What's your R?
I was thinking I need to eat me one of these. This should be on that. What's that website we love? ThisIsWhyYou'reFat.com?
Yes.
This is why I'm fat.
Uh-huh.
Deep in the heart attack of Texas is a new sandwich at a restaurant in Manhattan. It contains a piece of chicken fried steak covered with cream gravy and macaroni and cheese, all between two pieces of Texas toast.
Oh, God.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Wow.
I think you need to eat about five of those.
Yeah, you do, Stephanie.
Remain.
Stressed out.
Eat a burger.
Stressed out.
Eat a sandwich.
Eat a sandwich. Read a book. Get a job. All right. The Boehner said Wednesday that no one wants to see the nation go into default. Some people do.
Yeah.
Asked whether House Republicans will ultimately vote to raise the debt ceiling regardless should it come down to a deadline, Boehner says, nobody wants to go there because nobody knows what's going to happen. It's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. There's nothing secure in this world at all.
That's supposed to be a leader. Rachel played the clip. He just goes, I don't know.
I think he really is drunk all
What's
the time.
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
You know, he would know if he would just let the two parties work together on getting something done.
Yeah.
But he's the one holding everything back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't. Well, they're just, that's the problem. They just need to finish the fight in their party between the Republicans, Tea Party, Cantor, Boehner. That's the thing is, you know, Jim, this is the thing. I know you get, you know, hold Obama's feet to the fire, all that, but he's already, I think, making mincemeat of these idiots. I mean, they're the ones in disarray.
He's been doing a great job with this.
Thank you.
They're marching towards the cliff, and he's just helping them along.
Right. Yeah. As Lawrence O'Donnell said, nothing. Things agreed to till it's agreed to.
Here,
it's like he's
me.
The adult
sure,
at the table, eating his peas. Adam's apple. Okay. All right. Are you done interrupting me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we're done here. Thank you.
But he's kind of pitting Boehner and Cantor against
awesome.
Each other.
Oh, it's awesome. Isn't hard to do because he's such a backstabbing little twerp.
Yeah.
And Boehner's just in a fog.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, Rob Roy.
I never know. No one tells me anything.
Wow. Oh. He's next in line.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he had the secret meeting. Didn't Eric Cantor, was he like, can I at least be your caddy for the golf thing? Can I at least be there with you in the press? No?
I'll show you. He will pay. Yes, you will pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then meanwhile, the right wing, what's his name, that CNN tool, Red State guy?
Oh,
Eric
Erickson.
So nice they named him twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
He declared that in noting Social Security checks might be disrupted should the default crisis not be resolved by the August 2nd deadline, President Obama declared his willingness to shoot his hostages, i.e. senior citizens.
What?
Yeah, because there would be a default that he tried to avoid and did not. So he's the one threatening to shoot.
President Obama was just pointing out a fact.
Yeah.
He writes,
the GOP should embrace the apocalyptic future, call BS on the fear-mongering, and shoot their debt-ceiling hostage. So he's encouraging. He's rooting this on, that this all. So, Yertl, meanwhile.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
Yes, you're correct.
Number one. number two, so under attack from the right, Mitch McLip, you know, he is both McLipless and McChinless, I've decided. There's something that's just, there's nothing really going on and underneath his nose. It's just, I'm not really sure what's that.
And his forehead has, like, stopped moving. I think he's gotten some Botox.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, he looks startled to be anywhere, and I thought it was the magnification of his glasses. He just looks startled. To really have been to show up anywhere.
He looks like that turtle you're supposed to draw for art college on the back of matchbooks.
He is the Senate minority leader. You'd think that he wouldn't be surprised there'd be television cameras, but it's always like that he's surprised. He's just big eyes deer in the headlights.
I had my eyelids surgically removed so that I could see everything that's coming. Being a turtle, I'm not the fastest.
Much like Calista Gingrich.
Face there.
Yeah.
Who? You would need to keep an eye on someone that philanders that much.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, honey?
What are you doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
What are you writing?
Oh, dear.
Okay, so under attack from the right is the headline. Mitch McLipless defended his last-ditch plan to raise the national debt ceiling, arguing Republicans could get sucked into President Obama's economic problems. Oh, I see. They're just his economic problems if the country went into default, likening the fight to 1995 when Bill Clinton pinned the blame of the government shutdown on Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
Who is the fault of the government? Who shut the government down? Yes. McConnell said he refused to let Republicans take co-ownership of the of damaging the already weak economy.
Co-ownership?
Yeah. As Lawrence O'Donnell said, you have sole ownership.
Right.
Yeah. He said, just like we knew shutting down the government in 1995 was not going to work for us and help Bill Clinton get reelected, I refuse to help Barack Obama get reelected by marching Republicans into a position where we have co-ownership of a bad. And so the right wing, like, berserk.
Tea Party's going to show up at his door with torches and pitchforks.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And they compared him to who? Oh, Pontius Pilate. People on the right. All right.
Who was a well-known lettuce eater.
Yes. Yeah. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Girl.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mark in San Francisco on the debt ceiling crisis. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
Yay!
Same artist. God, I love that guy. Mm, anyway.
Fabulous.
Dennis Kucinich made an excellent point this week on the House floor, and he discussed that the Social Security system has run out of the Treasury, and there is no way the government shutdown would stop the checks from coming because there's multiple billions of dollars in there, and they would just go out just fine. So, unfortunately, the president's either incorrect or he's using this as leverage. I tend to think it's just an incorrect situation.
I don't. You know what? I think the problem is, first of all, Mark, we have never defaulted on our debt in the history of the United States. So I think, you know, who knows what? I mean, where are you going to get the money from? Who knows what's going to stop when? That's the whole point. That's why we've never gone here before.
I'm telling you, it is absolutely true that even if the budget impasse continues past the August 2nd date, people will still get their Social Security checks. So it's not. True.
I'm going to take the president's word over yours. I'm sorry.
No, go listen to Dennis Kucinich.
All right, I will. I'm just, you know, I think this is the problem. It's you know, that saying that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and you know, we don't want the what did he call it, the whatever to end up in a mushroom cloud.
Yeah,
that is fear mongering. saying if we, for the first time in the United States history, default on our debt, we don't know what checks we're going to be able to pay when. I'm sorry.
Right. The Social Security checks are not the only aspect of this. I mean, if our credit rating just evaporates.
Mullen said, I mean, you know, military families live paycheck to paycheck. Some people can't, like, oh, well, just wait a little bit. You know, just live on your cushion,
right.
You know?
And if America's credit rating, you know, goes into default, your personal interest rates on everything, your mortgage, your credit card, your car loan, it will shoot sky high.
Yeah.
And so it will affect every American.
Yeah. I mean, well, this Moody's thing, if they downgrade that people's interest rates are going to go up right away. I mean, it's you know, that's what's so scary about all this. It seems like we have a lot of Republicans in denial in this whole thing. It was a perfect story. I was on vacation with my best friend. I told you, who's a psychologist in a maximum security prison. Because
mm-hmm.
we were talking about a lot of people we know or currently are in a little bit of denial. And
no, we're not.
Anyway.
Shut up. You're the one in denial.
But she tells this story about talking to a, you know, somebody in this maximum security. And she goes, these guys are just, you know, he seems like such a nice guy. His demeanor is so calm and he's so nice. And she's talking to her and he goes, you know. He goes, God, I just don't understand. My ex-wife, you know, she won't talk to me anymore. She just won't take my calls. I mean, it could be because I killed her family, but I don't really, I, you know, because I killed her parents and her sister, but I don't.
This is a long time ago.
I just love that story.
I mean, she didn't like him that much
anyway.
Like,
I don't get it.
What?
I don't get it. Is it me? It's her, right?
It's him, right?
God, what are you getting all hysterical for?
Why?
Whatever.
Okay. It's natural. It happens. It just happened a little quicker for them. What? What?
But it's just, you couldn't have said it.
They're going to die anyway.
You could have said it any more calmly.
Why not now?
Because I killed her family? What? That's going to come in between us? What'd I do?
Okay,
why
I wore white after
mad?
Labor Day. Okay, that's.
All right. Okay. You were always so over-emotional.
Hysterical.
All right. The president's carny on this
one. Ronald Reagan, who is honored by conservatives and Republicans for his service as president, and in particular because he was committed to reducing spending. The fact is he made multiple, he accomplished a lot working with the Democratic Speaker of the House, and in those compromises that he achieved, he didn't get everything he wanted, and he actually significantly raised revenue on a number of occasions as part of an overall package to reform Social Security or tax reform.
11 times.
That's the kind of compromise we're talking about here.
Well,
yes.
There you go again. Shiving my record.
Yeah. Raise taxes 11 times. I swear to God, they just do that la, 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 la. Whenever you didn't bring up anything Reagan actually did, la, 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 no, he did not. Yes, he did. He made lots of deals with Tip O'Neill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, the president's carny.
I think the president expects members of Congress, political leaders of both parties, to abide by their principles, significantly reduce the deficit, do the things that a lot of people have talked about who came into office recently, but also for a long time before that, about the need to get our deficits and debt under control, and also to make compromises necessary to make that happen.
And O'Neill and Reagan got along very well, personally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I talked about from my dad in Goldwater's time. They actually went out for drinks together. They went out for dinner. They actually literally had friends on both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
They're not even friends on the same side of the aisle now. John Boehner is still getting the shit out of his back from Eric Cantor. I mean, they're not, you know, it's just.
What's that in my back? Ow! Is that your Adam's apple again? Stop it!
He didn't notice till he laid down in the tanning bed. He was like, what the hell is that? Ow!
And the tanning bed got all bloody. You know, it happens when you have
stuff
a shiv.
Happened.
What?
I just shivved myself. 29. That's a callback to the guy that shot himself.
I can't believe I shivved myself.
I, son of a bitch. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's cool. It's like we got our own monster.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a monster. Let's jam in the basement until the circus comes to town.
I am not a monster. Stephanie Miller.
43, 34 minutes after the hour.
Is that your Elephant Man impression?
I am not a monster.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
I'm not an animal. I'm a human being.
No, that's normally the voice I reserve for kitty videos. Okay, 1-800-STEP. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John, my right wing love muffin in Amherst. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Bunt Cake, again. Let's correct you.
Excuse me.
You know, I want to dispel this urban myth about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. Everyone knows the term amiable dunce. They originated from Tip O'Neill. Now, I don't know what kind of circles you hang out in, guys, but I don't call my friends and my compatriots that. And I will guarantee you that there has never been one.
I was saying that my father actually was friends with other people on the other side of the aisle back in the day.
No. Well, wait. No, I'm going to say something.
Okay.
I'll guarantee you that Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan never shared a bottle of Guinness at the bar.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. Were you one of their personal valets?
No, you give me one instance, even in a Washington Post contemporaneous article, where these guys sat around and sucked down a bottle of Guinness. It does not happen.
It was well reported at the time that they shared many drinks, a dinner. They made deals together. They were actually fond of each other personally.
Is that like Ted Kennedy going to Russia and saying, "Don't worry, we'll keep Ronald Reagan in check, and he'll find out the story"? Wait a minute. Is this the way these guys got along?
I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
No. Well, when Ronald Reagan got into office, everyone was all worried that he was going to pull the nuclear trigger. I lived through this time. My mind is not that unclear.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan wanted zero nukes. That's what he wanted.
Well, he wanted SDI is what he did. And that kind of caused Russia to maybe bankrupt a little bit.
Oh, John, this is saying something, but this is the most confusing conversation I've ever had with you, except for the one about that the mortgage crisis was caused by...
a room full of black guys.
That was the most stupid thing.
Well, sure. All right.
I'm sure a lot of people referred to Reagan as an amiable dunce. People thought that he would never be elected because they thought he was a lunatic, a far-right whack job.
Yeah.
And at the time, first thing he did was fire the air traffic controllers.
More importantly, Christy in Chicago was watching on Ustream, and she thinks Jim is hot.
Oh, really?
Hi, Christy.
Hey,
Jim,
yeah.
It's for you.
Hello.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. I first would like to be the official girl from Chicago who had an orgasm.
Wow. Oh, that time. You called after you and your boyfriend had just,
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Good job. And then we saw you at the Stephanie Miller Show at the Chicago Theater.
And had another one, right?
Well, yeah. Afterwards.
Sure.
No, I was watching the Ustream, and Jim stood up to go to the bathroom, and you always make yourself sound like you're the big fat guy or whatever, but no, dude, you're hot.
He is hot.
Thank you.
He is hot. He drives the chicks wild.
Even when I'm eating a can of tuna on camera.
Yeah. Well, that's what's hot. That's what's so hot.
You know, it's fish. So.
Yeah, you don't like a man that doesn't eat tuna.
It was a euphemism.
All right, Christine.
Also, Seth, my 120-pound black lab dog, whose name Cooper, says hello.
Hi, Cooper. That's a big lab. Cooper's a big lab.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
Oh. Okay. All right. I love you. Bye, Christine. That's a great big lab.
By the way, it is widely reported that Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan often shared lunches, and they always did so on St. Patrick's Day.
So that would include maybe a Guinness, Jan.
Uh-huh.
Jan,
I thought he never did that, because I was there, and I know that you're a bastard.
Sure as hell, you better believe it. You sure as... Why do you know that never happened?
I read the papers then too.
Yeah, and we had papers then.
Sure, they had
television
bitter
then.
Partisan fights, but they were friends underneath it all. I hate it when right wingers like John just call up and throw things out there as if they were true.
Oh yeah, you call your friends an amiable moron? They ain't not gonna do that. You bunch of morons.
That was in the spirit of partisanship.
You know, I'm just immature enough. Do we have John's email? Because I might just send him like one picture every few minutes of Reagan and
Tip O'Neill
drinking Guinness.
Yeah.
Because there's probably like a million of them.
I'm
just
photoshopping that now, right now. I bet.
All right. Here is a fun fact.
From
Miami Trucker.
Oh.
This is from the Baltimore Sun, actually. Okay. The average working American received a half of 1% pay raise last year, while the average CEO received a 23% pay increase 46 times as much, yet the Republicans want to cut even more taxes for the rich and slash vital services to the elderly, disabled, retirees, and working Americans.
Oh, they're just lazy. That's why they didn't get
the
pay
raise. Yeah, that's why if you worked, you'd get more than a half. Josh and Madison on Reagan. Hello, Josh.
Hey, I love Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
While we're, you know, myth-busting on Ronald Reagan, can we stop allowing the president's attorney to say that he was fiscally responsible? Because he took us from the biggest creditor nation to the biggest debtor nation in the world.
I'm still getting trickled on.
Well, totally. Don't tell me that it's raining. right. But, I mean, yeah, like, basically he stood back and watched while the Soviet Union collapsed under its own weight and spent us into oblivion.
Exactly.
So the thing that bugs me about Obama the most is that he's still using this Republican talking point, essentially, that anything Republican works. We've had 30 years of proof that it's horrible,
right.
But he still believes that that should be how we should be talking.
Yeah, Josh,
about
people's memory's a little foggy. I think in John's memory, when he said tear down that wall, they did it right then. That's what it happened in real time on the TV. Tear down this wall.
But Caspar Weinberger and Reagan used to go on radio shows before he got into office, mm-hmm. talking about how they were going to spend the Soviet Union to death. We're going to outdo them militarily. What they didn't mention is they were going to destroy the civilian economy right here as well.
Ha, that'll show
and
them.
And we're still paying for it.
Yeah.
To Doug this day.
Doug in California. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, it's bad enough when the right mythologizes Reagan in absurd manners, but what I just heard in the clip that you played from the president's Carney is that Carney said that President Reagan was well known for working to reduce spending.
No.
That's absurd.
I think what his point was that he made deals, he made compromises, he raised taxes 11 times when he had to. I mean, one has ever done what George Bush did. When you start wars and you don't pay for them and you continue to give rich people tax cuts, that's why we're here.
Right, but
Reagan started that.
The way Carney said it,
it
was a little.
I know. I think he likes to just. It's just poking the Republicans with the Reagan stick.
Yeah.
Doink.
I blame the welfare queens and their Cadillac.
All right, Representative Nancy Pelosi.
I believe that the United States will pay its bills and we will honor the full faith and credit of our country. I salute President Obama for putting forth a grand bargain. This is about the future in a very important way that reduces the deficit well into the future, and we should still strive for that or come as close to it as we possibly can.
I don't think so. I just want to drive the car off the cliff.
Don't you love the leadership meeting pictures? Nancy Pelosi always has that frozen smile, but you can just read her thought bubble. She's always looking at Eric Cantor just like, you ridiculous little pinhead twerp. You are ridiculous. Senator Mitch McLipless.
The time has come for a balanced budget amendment that forces Washington to balance its books.
Again.
If these debt negotiations have convinced us of anything, it's that we can't leave it to politicians in Washington to make the difficult decisions they need to get our fiscal house in order. The balanced budget amendment will do that for them. Now is the moment. No more games. No more gimmicks. The Constitution must be amended to keep the government in check.
Who balanced the budget?
We've tried persuasion. We've tried negotiations. We've tried elections. Nothing has worked.
So McConnell wants to rewrite the Constitution because he can't do his frickin' job.
Yeah.
Nice.
I keep my terrarium in order. Why can't we keep our fiscal house?
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
That's right.
If we go into default, he will say that Republicans are making the economy worse and try to convince the public, maybe with some merit, if, you know, people start not getting their Social Security checks. And all of a sudden, we are co-ownership. We have co-ownership of a bad economy. That is very bad positioning going into election. Look, my first choice was to do something important for the country. But my second obligation is to my party and to my conference to prevent them from being sucked in to a horrible position politically that would allow the president probably to get reelected.
Wow. Which caused the right wing to go insane. All right. Michelle Bachmann, the bat Republican from Minnesota, who's wrong about everything.
Yes.
This is a misnomer that I believe that the president and the Treasury Secretary have been trying to pass off on the American people, and it's this. That if Congress fails to raise the debt ceiling by $2.5 trillion, that somehow the United States will go into default and we will lose the full faith and credit of the United States.
Yes.
That is simply not true.
Really, no.
Hmm.
And did she go on to offer any? Really?
No. Any
it's just not so? That's just not so.
Not so.
President's making this all up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then her husband said,
I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What? He does. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Do we know that?
Yes.
Because didn't she famously say that she married her husband because God told her to?
Mm. Yes. Yes. God. No gaydar. Okay.
And God told me to love my wife. And I do.
And I do. Oh, it's super much. Super
I'm on my knees every night telling the Lord how much I love my wife.
Super serious about the whole
marriage
thing.
While I'm pounding my pillow.
Excuse me?
Mother, why? Why did you do this to me?
45 minutes after the hour.
To the D-gang.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, right. I understand. Yeah, it's all about a pillow. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Woohoo! Good choice. 49 minutes
Thank
after
you.
The hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Well, you know, whenever there's good news about my hometown, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Buffalo, New York. Guess what I can say? My hometown, Buffalo, New York, still a union town, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to our good friend Michael Goodwin, president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union, who joins us now. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you today?
I am great because, you know, between Wisconsin and everything going on, whenever there is good news for the, you know, for the worker, I gotta talk about it. So tell us what's going on in Buffalo.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Wisconsin because I was so worried that Buffalo Blue Cross, the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York, was modeling after Governor Walker.
Right.
Because they locked us out of work for 12 weeks. And what they wanted to do was we had in our contract that if there was any subcontracting that ever occurred, that the workers could not lose their jobs as a result of it. So we had that protection against subcontracting.
Right.
They came to the table, made a demand, and they said, that's gone. That's out.
You know,
unless you guys sign on to this, that we can subcontract out and lay you off, you're not going to be allowed to work here.
Wow.
And when the contract expired on April 25th, they called everybody and they locked everybody out for 12 weeks. Well, the good news is the sun is shining in Buffalo. It is a union town. It's a union town.
You've got a tentative three-year agreement, right?
We got a tentative three-year agreement. The company withdrew that proposal after a lot of pressure. We got a $2,500 ratification bonus for the people because they lost a lot of money. We got a two-week paid vacation before they returned to work on August 1st and 5% wage increases.
Good for you.
The staff was ecstatic. It was the most uplifting labor event that I've been at in years.
And, Michael, let's bring this back to
Stephanie Miller,
my favorite subject, because you said that we talked about this earlier. You used the tape of the interview with me, and everybody loved it. I mean, I think, you know, the reason I bring it up jokingly, but I think that people have been feeling after Wisconsin and elsewhere so, like, disempowered and, like, we can't fight this anymore. We can't fight the governors. We can't fight the, you know, corporations, and we can. You can shine a spotlight on this, and you can, right?
Yes, you can. And, you know, just on the tape, after we did our interview, we made a tape, and we widely distributed in the Buffalo community to the labor movement, to the public, to the grassroots people on the ground, so that everyone was able to share in the interview that we had, which explained the whole situation. And everyone was so happy that you were supporting the issue,
well,
you know, by conducting the interview.
Michael, look at Wisconsin, as we keep bringing up. But, you know, they're trying these dirty tricks because they can't win on the issues because the American people are largely with you and I, you know, these eight, you know, fake Democrats they tried to put in these recall elections all lost. When was it? Tuesday this week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing is that it, you know, it might be one small victory on top of another. But I'm just saying, you look at the polling, you look at these unprecedented recalls, and I think things are moving in our direction, don't you?
I absolutely do. I think it's changing. The whole situation, the tide is changing against them. And, you know, it's like with this one in Buffalo when we called the National AFL-CIO folks and we told them the terms. you know, that after 12-week lockout, we won everything hands down. The company got nothing out of this at all. They were back down. They, you know, this time the employee had to go back to work with his tail between his legs, and the workers were victorious.
Yeah.
And what I told them yesterday at the membership meeting, I was in Buffalo yesterday and the day before, I told them that you can go back to work with pride and that the union is reborn in Buffalo.
That's right.
It's reborn.
You know what? I can't wait. I'm coming. The Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Shays Performing Arts Center Saturday, November 19th. I'm going to celebrate this victory. I'm going to get myself a case of Jenny Cream Ale and salute you, sir. And we appreciate your time as always. Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Stephanie. And look, keep up the good work. You're such a great advocate for working families, and we just love you to death.
We love you back. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Oh,
he's so awesome.
I think you liked your Jenny Cream Ale reference.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Drive up the transit, get some OB splits as well.
Is that any good, or is it just cheap?
Yes. No, someone brought me one on stage.
Really?
A big one in Syracuse. Oh, it's awesome.
Okay.
Beer.
All right.
You don't
beer.
Even like beer.
So, I know. Jenny Cream Ale I do, though.
Beer.
Well, it's an ale. It's not really a...
Listen,
a
if I were in Minnesota, there would be trouble. Trouble. State shutdown could leave Minnesota without beer.
I know.
What?
Beer.
What? The MillerCoors brands of beer have been ordered off the shelves, and Minnesota residents could lose all access to beer and other booze due to the two-week-old state government shutdown. Bars, restaurants, and stores across the state unable to replenish their liquor and beer supplies because they can't renew $20 state-issued alcohol purchasing cards.
Oh, God.
Oh, whoever's behind that's going to wind up in the wood chipper.
See, if you just cut off Boner's rusty nails, this debt thing would be solved in a jiffy, is all I'm saying.
What do you mean I can't have her?
Give me the beer song for my friends in Minnesota, for God's sake.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Whee!
Even Marcus.
Like I'd rather chug a beer. I'd hardly have to hear.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer. Beer. Beer.
Yay! All right. By the way, you have to. Did we post that up on our website, the Michelle and Marcus Bachman?
Yeah, it's up on your Facebook
Second
page.
Second City.
Yes. Great.
Okay, because the thing that's visual that we can't play is them trying to kiss at the end, and then he's wearing a satin red hot pants.
Yeah. Doing high kicks.
Yes. Yay, marriage. Okay, the kiss is hilarious, though. Judy. Judy in Springfield on the debt ceiling. Hi, Judy. Hey, Judy.
Hi, I called Social Security yesterday. Yes, I called Social Security yesterday.
Okay, and?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, and what'd you say?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. All right. I hope she had a better conversation with Social Security office, but all right.
Bless her heart.
I have a dual rotary phone, too.
I'm trying to use the phone!
I actually do. I have a dialy phone in one room. I have a big dialy phone.
Do you
really? 1940s, yep. Mm-hmm. I've slammed it down on you before. And gone on the fainting couch.
All right, Stephanie, call Richmond 9275.
Rob in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. You know what? I have two things for you, Steph.
All right.
The first thing is...
Got a couple of things for you as well.
Oh, I love it. You know, what people are failing to realize is one thing is that the debt ceiling, this is not President Obama's debt that is being paid off right now.
That's
this
right.
is still George W. Bush's debt. And
yep.
if I was the president, I would go to John Boehner and show him, this is where you voted to increase the debt limit. This is what you voted on. So now you don't want to pay your bills. I tell you what, you do that at your house and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Robert in Palm Springs on Mitch McLipless. Hello, Robert.
Good morning. Oh, my God. I have like four things, Stephanie, so I apologize.
Oh, dear.
If we had not run an unbalanced budget during World War II, we would never have won
right.
World
yeah.
War II.
Yeah.
Is he insane? Secondly, John from Amherst or wherever?
Dan.
Yeah.
I
was in college when Reagan was in office, and unlike you, Stephanie, I didn't vote for him.
Oh, yeah. Screw you. So what?
I have to say that.
I was young and dumb.
Anyway, at Reykjavik in Iceland in 86,
uh-huh.
he negotiated with Gorbachev the end of our nuclear arsenal. It wasn't anything about Star Wars at that point, and they had to pull back from the agreement he made with him.
Yeah, yeah. I hear
okay,
you.
So
okay.
I don't know what John's talking about there. And
we never know what John's talking about.
How does Michelle Bachman have five children with this guy?
They're adopted, aren't they?
No,
foster?
No. They have five children, and then they have a whole bunch of foster children.
Oh.
I understand that, but I'm thinking turkey baster for the five they actually conceived.
All right. We don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know that for sure.
Maybe she dressed up like Ricky Martin or something.
Yeah. So someone commented on your Facebook page that he's so fancy.
He is. He's just, he's a little persnickety.
He's a fancy man out on the side.
He's just persnickety, perhaps.
Could
okay.
Be.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson coming up this hour. Yay!
Heck to the yeah!
Heck to the yeah! 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John in Asheville's drunk again. Hi, John. Morning.
Uh-oh.
John?
What?
John?
Huh? Should we call an ambulance or something?
John, are you okay? John.
Is that snoring or?
John.
I think that is snoring.
No, it sounded mechanical.
We'll come back to you.
Maybe he's okay. Fallen into a threshing machine or something.
Oh, boy.
A thresher?
All right.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Let's hope he's not near a wood chipper.
Some kind of industrial
okay.
equipment.
All right. Okay. So, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie. Voice deity, Jim Ward. Or me, Stephanie Miller. By the way, Mama's Talkers interview is up there. I'm the cover girl for Talkers Magazine, you know, this month. I'm Radio's Woman of the Year.
You are.
Jim. So, you should show some more respect to me and listen to me. You don't even listen to me, do you?
Reserve. What?
Do you listen
to
me?
Say something?
Hmm? See?
Sorry, I was...
Oh, John's back. Hi, John.
Hello.
John, how are you?
You doing okay?
Yeah, how are you?
Well, I'm sort of inebriated.
Awesome.
You know, it's before noon there.
Yes, it is.
Huh.
But unfortunately, see, I work from 12 to 6 in the morning.
Oh, so it's party time. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So it's party time.
That makes perfect
time,
sense.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I live really outside the box.
Mm.
But you live near a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
No. If it happens in North Carolina like it did in Minnesota, I'm so afraid.
John, are you coming to the Sexy Liberal Show in Asheville September 24th?
I have absolutely 2 tickets, and I'm going to buy 2 more so I can just kick somebody off the street.
Okay. Could you be sure to yell drunkenly almost every other word that I say on stage?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Well,
I'm
just kidding.
Respect your stage presence.
Thank you. Well, as you should respect a woman that's teabagging a man on stage.
I will never dethrone the queen.
Right. Plus, you'd have to go to work right now.
Thanks for calling. All right. That's the, you know, his John Boner impression's better than yours, I think.
Maybe we should keep him away from the bar at your show.
You certainly do need to show a woman respect that demonstrates teabagging on stage with a man. I need a little potty mouth.
My credit card is $10,000. How much can I get?
He's the Foster Brooks of the Stephanie Miller
I
Show.
I love him.
What's not to love?
He's unapologetic about it, too, which is awesome.
SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, there's a new article up from Edge Boston. EdgeBoston.com has a nice piece about Mama. We will be in Boston this Saturday for the Sexy Liberal Show at the Wilbur Theater. There's just a tiny few little, like, single seats left, is the last I heard. I don't even know if there's any left, but get them if you can.
Yep.
SexyLiberal.com is the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And there's lots of second show's been added and almost sold out, so go get it. Check it out. Get it. All right. Oh, here's a actually a question from Cindy in Boston. Steph, would you recommend safety equipment at the Sexy Liberal comedy tour? In fact, yes, I would.
Condoms?
No, not that kind.
Oh.
Well, those, I think, for sure. Steph, I'm wondering if I need to bring safety equipment to the... I guess I still need my Sexy Liberal music. To the Sexy Liberal comedy tour. Has there been any audience injuries to the head or back due to hysterical and or other kinds of unrelenting laughter?
Mm.
I think there may have been. Mm. There are some reports. I ask because my husband and I will be at the Boston show this Saturday. We need to know if I need to bring a helmet, seat pillows, or to cushion any R-O-T-F-L-M-A-O.
Oh.
Rolling on the floor, left.
Yeah,
I understand what that is.
Well, I just had to
make
sure. Yes,
I would bring all of the above, Cindy, just to be safe.
All right.
Just to be safe. Why not? All right.
Rolf Waffle. Rolf Waffle?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't try to pronounce that.
Rolf Waffle. You had to explain to me what all the text things mean. It took me forever. Right?
Yes.
I was like,
lol.
I have to know something besides LOL. Oh, now what?
Oh, there's a lot of things.
Time will come. I'm very confused by LOL.
I do know one thing about the internet, and that is Facebook is evil. That's what I know.
So I've heard.
So we all heard. So we all learned the hard way. Woman sues after Facebook romance fails. Oh, so many things I could do with my little public format right now if I wanted to, but I won't. Because I'm classy. A suburban Detroit woman is suing a Washington State man for more than $8,000 in damages after a romance sparked over Facebook failed. Gray is seeking repayment for gifts she bought during their six-month relationship, including a digital camera and Seattle Mariners home opener tickets. The single mother said they met playing Mafia Wars. And that her friendship became romantic. For months, they spent as many as 6 hours a day communicating online. She bought a plane ticket to visit him, but a week before the planned trip, he sent a message saying he'd met someone else. Oh,
oh dear.
Oh. She felt humiliating then by disparaging comments he made about her on Facebook, on the aforementioned Facebook.
Hmm. I think Twitter's more evil.
Really?
Yeah, Twitter's gotten me in more trouble than Facebook
Oh,
has.
Yeah, Twitter's almost, yeah.
Yeah.
You almost,
you're fired.
You almost. Not because of me.
I know. I almost got locked out of the building because of that.
There's virtually nothing you could do to you. You've called me the C word and I've fired you. There's virtually nothing you could do to make me fire you. I'm so hard up. All right. Anne in St. Paul, hopefully the official underwater archaeologist of the Stephanie Miller Show. I know. With a sort of an unsolicited testimonial.
Okay.
Oh, Aisha Tyler and I were discussing our mutual spazziness the other day. Mm-hmm. Oh, because of the guy that shot himself. That's why I kind of guns. I'm too spazzy. I injure myself with weapons of any kind. Anne writes, oh, Mama's clutchiness is contagious. Mama in the movie. Oh, dear. Okay. Here we go again. Looky.
I just shot myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Dear Mama and the Mooks, I must point out, clutchiness bordering on the very dangerous can be transferred through the radio machine and even an iPod if it's strong enough. While listening to Mama's podcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Mm-hmm. Thank you. An iron fell on my head. Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Yikes. The bump is massive. I completely blame Mama's influence. Just like 2 weeks ago, my little toe on my right foot got caught under a door. Ah! I hate when that... I was opening in really great colors and limping ensued for about 10 days. I wish that I could afford some health care. Yikes.
Oh.
Sorry. I try to confine myself to my own fussiness. I've lost my eye, lost a fight with a fireplace mantle in
you
New
did.
York.
Yeah.
My foot lost a fight with a step, and I broke my foot.
New York
Nothing.
Doesn't like you.
No.
It chewed you up and spat
no,
you out.
No, it rejected me like a bad organ.
That's right.
Like a bad kidney. I remember my toy Pika-Poo.
It hocked you up like a loogie.
I remember my toy Pika-Poo Pookie. Yep. Remember Pookie?
Oh, yeah.
Mama's little baby dog. My little...
Yeah, you once had small dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. For some reason, I once tried to feed him an oyster. I had those little canned oysters. And I just thought, I don't know, because he ate all my leftovers, and he just went... And he, spit it. I've never seen a little dog, he clear across the room. And I thought maybe it was a mistake, so I tried again, and he was like,
what, are you trying to kill me?
I was like, oh, gosh. All right.
He doesn't like oysters.
Apparently not.
Huh.
All right, Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi, honey.
Your buddy Sippy Cup is on The View today.
Yeah.
She's sitting in, and she's not the brightest girl in the room.
But
Holy
she does.
Cow.
But she does wear a thigh high me boots
mm-hmm.
to debate politics. What?
Yeah, she looks cute, but she certainly is.
Yeah, she wore those last time we were on Larry King, and Katrina Vandenhoof and I are like,
what?
You can't even. First of all, you're not even photographed from the waist down on television. Why are you wearing those?
Yeah. She's cute. Anyway, just wanted to tell you.
All right. Thank you for that information. So nice. All right. Bat Michelle Bachman, Jim, talking about the gays.
Almost all, if not all, individuals who have gone into the lifestyle have been abused at one time in their life.
Oh,
either by a male or by a female.
Mm,
there's been
really?
Profound hurt and profound things that have happened in almost all of their lives.
Really?
And this gives us great compassion. So this is not to talk about gay bashing. Do we understand that? That's not
yes.
what this is about.
No. No.
So that has never happened to straight people then? Being abused.
No.
No.
Nope. It's the sole cause of the gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Hmm. Okay. Can we play that thing again, the Second City sketch? Because it's pretty hilarious. It's Michelle and Marcus Bachman. They're, Yes, on the campaign trail, I believe.
On the road with Michelle Bachman, Waterloo, Iowa.
Marriage is a cornerstone of our democracy. So Marcus and I take it very seriously.
We're super serious about it.
So serious, Marcus opened a clinic curing people of homosexuality.
Oh, my God, you should see the results. It's crazy.
We are people who are obsessed with marriage.
We're obsessed with marriage and gay things and protecting stuff, all of that, for some reason. Sometimes it's totally freaky, you know.
So if you want someone who is focused...
Like a laser.
Like a laser on marriage, insisting on it, and the value of sticking it out.
Come hell or high water.
Come hell or high water. Think of Michelle and Marcus.
All right. And then they're Chris Kiss, which is hilarious. Yes. And they make the same face that Pookie made before he spit out the oyster. All right, talking about, you know what, Jim, she really abhors slavery. Right before she uses another analogy to slavery for something.
I just want to make it absolutely clear. I abhor slavery.
Sure.
Slavery was a terrible part of our nation's history. It's good that we no longer have slavery.
Good.
And under no circumstances would any child be better off growing up under slavery. But that isn't what I signed. That isn't what I believe.
Yeah, it is.
What I signed was a statement that affirms marriage as an important part of our nation. And I agree with that.
But when you signed it, it had the part about slavery in it, Michelle.
I just was down with the gay bashing. I did not mean in any way to...
I just want to go on the record and say that slavery is bad. I don't like it. It's really not good.
The end.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm glad it's over. Really, I am.
I hated it right up to the second the Founding Fathers ended it at the Liberty Bell. The end. Okay. Oh, you know what?
What?
She's grabbing all Sarah Palin's press.
Oh?
Sarah Palin's talking about important things these days, like Slim Jims. And no one's
like
paying
what?
Attention.
Like Slim Jims?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
In her big Newsweek interview, she told a story about Slim Jims. She was using Slim Jims to illustrate rising food prices. PolitiFact was then asked to determine if her story was accurate and got a comment from the Jim himself, from the Jim of the aforementioned Slim Jim.
From Slim Jim himself?
Hey, yes.
Wow.
Who's probably not so slim if he eats a lot of Slim Jims.
No,
however,
true.
I love when politicians use these stories to sound folksy, Jim, and like they're one of the folks and they know what stuff costs and how stuff is in the real world. She said, I was ticked off at Ted! Yesterday, he walks into a gas station as we're driving over from Minnesota. He buys a Slim Jim. We're always eating that jerky stuff.
Sure you are.
For $2.69, I said, Dad! Those used to be 99 cents just recently.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So they,
Slim
well,
Jim
this is presidential
like
material. Yeah, Slim Jim would like to
correct the record.
He'd like to apologize. Our iconic Slim Jim giant sticks are priced around $1.30. Boy, when Slim Jim calls you a liar, you know, your presidential campaign is toast. At priced around $1.30, Mr. Palin might have been reaching for one of our Slim Jim monster sticks, which offers double the meat for $2.30, or our Slim Jim kippered beefsteak, which typically sells for around $2.65.
Kippered beefsteak.
Mm.
Or is it beef
I just
okay.
think I'm going to buy it.
All right.
Actually, a Slim Jim is pretty good.
I bet Marcus likes the giant one.
No, I bet he likes the smoke of big ones. Okay. Let's,
Can't let it go. The big smoked rods of beef.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure he enjoys them. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Look out, it's Carmageddon's coming! Los Angeles! They're shutting the 405! Oh, my God, this is awesome. Which airline?
JetBlue is offering $4 flights between Long Beach Airport and Burbank Airport.
That's brilliant.
During Carmageddon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be flying in an altitude over there.
If you'd please put your... Never mind, we're there.
They said it's about a 20-minute flight.
Yeah.
And most of that's waiting in the pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. It sold out already, though.
It's sold out. Yeah.
All right.
I go nowhere near the 405,
please,
so I
turn
really
off.
Don't care.
Well, no,
about
but it's going to affect all the other routes, too.
I don't go over the hill at all.
Please,
to
I don't
work.
Go anywhere.
Yeah.
Please turn off all electronics. Okay, you can turn it back on.
Yeah.
Tara in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. You saw Sexy Liberal in Tucson.
Yes, I did.
Hi, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hi, Mooks.
Hey, hello. Tara.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, when you came off stage, you hugged me. I was in the first row after the,
yes.
After that. And because of that, I think when I was at the meet and grope.
Yes.
I couldn't talk to you. I got a picture with you, and aww. Then I lost my power of speech.
Aww.
And I couldn't tell you that you make my morning. You guys make my morning every morning. I love you. It was well worth the drive. Everybody's going to have a great time.
Aw, thank you, honey. Thank you. Well, you know what happens? Sometimes we cross the sexy liberal stream. So Hal Sparks or John Fugelsang might have gotten their stream in there, and that's it can render people speechless. We apologize. We apologize.
I kind of was a geek with John too. I was fine with, but I went to take the picture with you. I just love you so much.
Aw, thank you, honey. I could use that right now. Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it. All right. Yeah. Aw,
it's magic.
All right. What?
What?
Yeah, I told you the sound my friend makes when I just say John Fugelsang's name. She goes, I don't really know what that means, but all right. He's disturbingly pretty in person.
He's a beautiful man.
He's a... Oof. Jim!
Hmm?
Who said, Mr. Speaker, I am grateful you have permitted me in the past, and I hope in the future that singular honor, the honor of calling you my friend. Who said that?
Well, there I go again.
You're not Ronald supposed to get it right. Yes, that was Ronald Reagan talking about his friend, Tip O'Neill.
Hey, I guarantee you that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
It's Jan and Amber, Stephanie. That's a lot of crap, and Reagan and O'Neill are friends. Where'd you buy that crap? I wouldn't buy that for a dollar.
Actually, Rush Limbaugh is pushing that myth, too, that they were not friends.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. Of course, that's where you got it.
Who said, we salute you, you are a leader of this nation, and for that we honor you, but you also embody so much of what this nation is all about and hope that is America, so you make us so proud as well, my friend. You make us so proud. Who said that?
Ed O'Neill.
No.
Ed O'Neill.
Ronald Reagan said that about his friend! Tip O'Neill. Yeah, I don't know where you got that clap trip.
That's a bunch of crap. You believe that just because it was on film, and there's the guy talking right there? Boy, you're naive.
All right. Dave in Buffalo with some Slim Jim fun facts. And who couldn't use those at this point? Hello. Hi, Dave.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sarah Palin is dead wrong. When you say Slim Jim, it's like saying Q-tip or Kleenex.
Right.
It's a sausage.
It's a sausage.
It's not. It's a sausage.
Right.
That's right. And John from Amherst probably would like that.
Yeah.
And the second
it's not
thing
a jerky.
Is,
it's I know jerky. It's a sausage. Yeah. It's a little tiny sausage stick.
That's
although
right.
They do make and a brand of jerky.
Mm-hmm. They do, but that's just new school stuff. And
yeah, that's not what you mean when you say Slim Jim.
The reason the Slim Jims are so good is you chew on them for a while and they become like meat gum.
That's not good.
They're gross.
Meat gum. Try blowing bubbles with that.
29 minutes after the hour, we face the Grayson once again. Former and future Congressman Alan Grayson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's got me all tangled up in one big doughy love pretzel.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free. Because he gives and he gives and he does not want me to waste a perfectly good jingle, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
Former and future congressman.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Ah, that feels good.
Good morning, former and future.
You really know how to tickle me.
Listen, I am so excited you just announced you are running again. I say yay in the words of the inimitable Michelle Bachman.
You and more than 2,000 others. We got over 2,000 people who have already made a contribution at Grayson for Congress.com and congressmanwithguts.com, yep. And they did it in the first 48 hours.
I know. Yay. It's unbelievable. I'm breaking this down. You've already raised $200,000 this year. That was $100,000 in donations before you even filed paperwork, right?
Yeah, I seem to have a lot of friends.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you always kept Congressman with Guts open.
Yes, we did, and people did manage to find their way to the website, partly because it's just so entertaining.
It is.
And also, as you say, it's all clean money. You said, I won't beg for money from special interest, lobbyist PACs. I won't put the law up for sale. I can't be bought or sold. I owe nothing to anybody but the voters. And you say this is what people power looks like.
Yeah, and I think this is what people really want. They're tired of both Republicans and Democrats who suck up to lobbyists and the filthy rich.
Well, you know, and Congressman, I got to say, you look at what happened in Wisconsin, when was it this week, where, you know, they tried these dirty tricks. They tried putting 8 fake Democrats in. That didn't work. I was just in Arizona where they're recalling Russell Pierce. Statewide in Wisconsin and the governor. There is really some backlash going on to this Republican overreach, isn't there?
Yeah, look, it's the party of Watergate. It's sort of in their DNA.
Yeah. I was reading this interview with you. You said you have no regrets about your campaign. You said what went wrong with my campaign and Democratic campaigns all over the country is that Democrats didn't vote.
Yeah, look, in Florida, not just in my district, but the 24 other congressional districts as well, the Republican turnout was in the high 60s, and the Democratic turnout was in the low 40s. And the same thing was true all around the country, except in New England and in California. I don't think Democrats were refusing to vote last year in Iowa because of me. I don't think I did that. I'm not responsible, I swear it.
Even though Fox News says you are. Now, that's what I'm saying.
Tax cheat Fox News. Is that the Fox News we're talking?
Yes. I do think, like I say, I think you're absolutely right. People did not realize what they were going to get. And you look at these, the polling, look at what's happening now with this, like, hostage crisis practically over the debt. And it's ridiculous.
I'm finding it very hard to follow. As far as I could tell, a bunch of old white guys are arguing with the president about whether we should keep spending $1 billion a day giving it to Wall Street and foreigners. And this is incredible to me, but the old white guys want it to stop. That's the part I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, but I mean, once again, their priorities just wrong, and the American people largely agree with us, 70-something percent in most polls, right? Don't want us to cut Medicare, Social Security. They think rich people should pay their taxes. That's how we should close the debt, period.
It's common sense. You look at an operation like Fox, their parent company, in the past few years has had $10 billion worth of income and gotten $4 billion in tax refunds from the government. If that's not corporate welfare, I don't know what is.
Yeah. I love your piece getting in. For the 4 million people in Florida who can't see a doctor when they're sick and the 15 million nationwide, I'm in. For the 70% of our homeowners in Orlando who owe more than they own on their home and the 25% nationwide who are underwater and feel like they're drowning, I'm in. For the 6 million Americans who haven't worked in 6 months and are seeing their benefits run out, for the 8 million more who are unemployed, and for the 8 million on top of that who can find only part-time work, I'm in. For the millions of parents who have absolutely no idea how to pay for a college education for their children, I'm in. For everyone who's appalled by the prospect we might cut Social Security and Medicare benefits as we spend more than $150 billion a year on 3 unnecessary wars and almost $100 billion on the Bush tax cuts for the rich, I'm in! That sums it all
up.
You
are a brilliant writer.
Thank you. I'm a good reader. That's mostly what makes me qualified for this. But, that's the thing is our priorities are the same as the American people. And you're right. I think has played out so clearly in one, state after another with Republican governors, with what's going on in Washington right now.
Well, yeah, look, we have 22 million people in this country who can't find a full-time job. We have 50 million people who can't see a doctor when they're sick. We have roughly 30 million families who owe more than they own on their mortgage. Their mortgage is higher than the value of their property. And as a result, in the face of all of that, we have the other side whose only priorities are more tax cuts for the rich and union busting. That's it. That's all they ever want to do.
Yeah.
And they contrive this fake crisis in order to push that bizarre agenda when there's so many real problems going on in people's lives that need to be solved.
I don't know if you watched Lawrence O'Donnell last night, but I mean, I really think that he's got it here. That, you know, the president has rope-a-doped these guys. They've played out that they're the ones in disarray. You got Cantor stabbing Boehner in the back. You got McConnell, you know, saying one thing. The right wing going insane over that. I mean, how do you see this playing out?
Well, you know, what the Republicans claim to be arguing for is $200 billion a year in cuts, without ever having said what those cuts should be. The remarkable thing is, for 2 or 3 months, they've been playing the fiscal conservatives, saying that they want to have $200 billion a year in cuts without ever telling us one word about the cuts. But earlier this week, in a single day, the value of stocks on Wall Street dropped by $200 billion when it looked like they were not going to make a deal with the president.
Right.
So Wall Street must be, you know, screaming at them right now, the people who actually own the Republican Party.
Right.
They must be screaming at them right now and saying to them, you are crazy. You are going to drive us, Wall Street, over a cliff. We need that $1 billion a day in money from the federal government,
yep.
And you're trying to cut us off. Now you're going to see some movement.
Congressman Grayson, by the way, I'm just going to keep calling you Congressman because you will be soon again.
All right.
Yes. Now, but, you know, speaking of the other big story yesterday, besides your unprecedented fundraising, and because, you know, the big, you know, common wisdom, oh, you know, the country's moved to the right, the Tea Party's so powerful, blah, 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 the president's lost his base. Look at this. Obama campaign reports 86 million raised from over 500,000 donors. I mean, again, I think this is all part of the same story, isn't it? It's same as you. You know, they've 98% of those donated $250 or less. They raised, you know, a record number of new donors, people that have never donated to the president before. I mean, it's all part of the same storyline, isn't it?
Well, he's seen as the last bastion of sanity.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking about that, actually. Boehner seems to have lost his own troops. There's now 80, between, according to Fox News, between 80 and 100 of the Republicans in the House, which is almost half of them, who say that they're not going to vote for the debt deal no matter what it says. I mean, they can combine a debt increase with a cure for cancer, and they would vote against it.
Yeah.
So I think people look at the situation and they say, they need President Obama in order to keep the crazies from going crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so do you think this will, I mean, didn't the president say set tomorrow as a deadline? Do you think this is going to play out by tomorrow?
No.
Well, I will love you because you're the only politician I know that's succinct. When you have a succinct answer, you just say it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at, yes, yes. You know, I mean, Mitch McConnell came out and said it. You know, we are going to ensure the president's reelection if we do this. And you know, you feel like, going, shh, don't tell them, you know. But, I mean, look.
No, I mean, the way this always works, and I saw this over and over again, is that they really deliberately wait until the last minute, and then they whip everybody in both parties up into a frenzy over it. And they keep everybody up really late. For several nights in a row, they find a reason to keep you in that room, the
right.
floor of the House, for 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 hours in a row, and then they hit you with the vote.
Right.
And both sides do this equally. I'm not saying it's some Republican trick. It's not. They did that to us over and over again on things like the cap and trade bill. So that's the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen at 11:59 on the August the night of August 1st.
Yep, as usual. But, you know, it is interesting when you look at, you know, again, even the common wisdom, oh, the president's in bad shape, you know, for 2020. He's raised how much more than all of the other Republican candidates like combined, right?
Well, I understand your point, although I look at it a little differently. He has to get 270 electoral votes. The polling in Florida for him has been pretty bad lately, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, and I hope I don't get blamed for it. But, you know, here in Florida, the president has not been polling very well. If you look at the electoral college in a close race, he has to either win Florida, or he has to win Ohio, or he has to win the trifecta, which is Colorado, New Mexico, and Iowa. And he's looking pretty good in Iowa right now, much less so in Colorado and New Mexico. And that's the only way he can get to 270 electoral votes in a close race.
Right.
So
although it's hard to...
Ohio apparently is really not doing much better than Florida.
But what do you make of Florida? Look at Rick Scott's approval ratings.
That's true, but the economy has been pretty bad. Our unemployment rate is significantly higher than the national unemployment rate. And the main thing is that the housing crisis has hit Florida like you wouldn't believe. In Orlando, which is one of the worst areas in the whole country for the housing crisis, 70% of the homeowners in Orlando have a mortgage that's higher than the value of their home, and I'm actually one of them. You know, people feel like not enough is being done. When I was in, we did a lot. I mean, we had a housing counseling program that saved thousands of homes. We had mandatory mediation, a program that was introduced here in Orlando and then was adopted statewide because it was so successful. So I did my part, but the fact of the matter is, in general, there is a perception that nobody's concentrating enough on jobs, nobody's concentrating enough on the housing crisis, nobody's concentrating enough on health care. Florida has the depending on who you ask, the second or third highest rate of uninsured people in the entire country. There's 2 million people in Florida. Sorry, more than that. There's 4 million people in Florida who can't see a doctor when they're sick out of the national total, which is 50 million. And again, you know, I don't think people have a very strong sense that anybody is paying attention to solving the fundamental problems in their lives that they cannot solve themselves.
Well, I mean,
that's the fundamental difference between us and them.
Well, exactly.
The other side expects that if there's a tsunami, you'll put up your hands and stop it.
And I've read so many of the letters about you that, you know, people say you are the only one that really cared about someone like me, you know, and I'm telling you, Alan, I think there's going to be a wave back. This is what politics is. It's cyclical. You know, there's this big common wisdom, and the Tea Party's so fearsome and all powerful. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a wave back, and Congressman Alan Grayson will be riding the wave like Moondoggy, hanging 10.
Surfing.
Yeah, baby. All
surfing
right.
USA.
Mr. Congressman, talk to you again soon. Thanks so much, honey.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Like Moondoggy?
I'm old.
Yeah,
that's a Gidget reference.
That is a Gidget reference.
I'm not even that old. I didn't even watch those
movies.
Sally
Field is far from being a teenager anymore.
Moondoggy, hanging 10, surfing.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Hey, listen, most importantly, Lois has sent me baby monkey riding frontwards on a cat. Oh, no!
Is that legal?
Oh, somebody please do a song. You know, it is already the one of my
Baby monkey. Baby monkey. Riding on a pig, baby.
Yeah, but it's so cute, the baby monkey running cat forward to the cat. Oh, God. You know what? This should be the anthem of the Republicans in Congress, shouldn't it, Jim? They're going the wrong way.
They're going
backwards
on a pig.
People don't want cuts to Medicare and Social Security. They want rich people to pay their fair share.
They're going the wrong way.
What?
They're going the wrong way.
Eric Cantor.
They're going the wrong way.
Eric Cantor.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Riding backwards on a
Adam's
apple, baby.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody.
Yes.
You're going the wrong way.
All right. Republican Party. Baby monkeys. Riding backwards on a pig. 47 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show tomorrow. Oh, it's an ecclesiastical show. The ecclesiastical MOOC, John Fugelsang, sexy liberal for Fridays with Fugelsang, and Representative Reverend Jim Wallace, the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller
Show.
That's
right. Also, the ranking member of the House Ways and Means Committee, Representative Sandra Levin, will be on.
Indeed. And also, by the way,
debt ceiling is
just a few
cottage cheese ceiling like they had in the 60s and 70s.
Yes, the debt ceiling is a cottage cheese ceiling that things stick to.
Well, no. When I was a kid, cottage cheese ceilings ate my balloons from Disneyland.
Aww.
You let it float to the ceiling.
Poor
and it
little
popped,
husky boy.
And
poor little husky boy crying into his Sears tough skins.
That's
husky
right.
boy crying about a balloon. Crying about a balloon on the ceiling.
I didn't like that. Stop it. Oh, God. Now I'm going into a spiral.
Oh, God. Things have had, like, polished, sharpened bits of quartz in that ceiling.
Look out. Shame spiral.
I know. We'll cause a kid's balloons to pop, and it'll have a complex for years. Plus, it's ugly.
Okay. By the way, just a few single balcony seats left for Boston's with the Sexy Liberals this Saturday. So get them quick. We're very excited. We're having a blast on this tour. Check it out. Except that it's killing me. Other than that.
Well, that.
Tad in Orlando.
It's making you skinny, too.
Oof. I'm a.
So you must go to spinning.
I'm a clackety bag of bones. Tad in Orlando. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, you know, when people like Michelle Bachmann tell me that they abhor slavery, I always make it a point to inform them, if they don't already know, that their Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, approved of slavery.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was used as a defense for slavery during the Civil War. So they, if they think that slavery is abhorrent now, they didn't learn it from their religion.
Yep.
They learned it from liberal thinkers from the 18th century.
Yep.
Who proved to them that human civil rights are more important than religious dogma.
That's right. All right. Thank you, sir. Very good. By the way, so many dopey Republican chicks, so little time. What with Michelle Bachmann, you know, sucking up all the press.
Yes.
Sarah Palin could barely get in there with her little Slim Jim story. Now, a Tennessee Republican lawmaker admits she carved her initials into her desk in the House chamber.
Oh, no.
Freshman Tennessee Republican lawmaker Julia Hurley. Please and thank you. May have wanted to leave her mark on the state legislature, but this wasn't the wisest way to do it. She will have to pay to cover the cost of removing her initials. What are you, 12? From the State House, where she carved them during a late night session.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She said, I don't understand why it's news. I don't want to talk about the desk.
Oh, you didn't read the Hooters part of that story.
What Hooters part?
What is a Hooters
part?
Oh,
yeah, she...
Oh,
wait
wow.
a minute now. What did I do?
Was it in that story or was it another story that I read?
Yes.
Yeah, she became... She ran on her Hooters background. She used to be a Hooters waitress.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did she carve her initials with someone else into the desk? Julia loves... Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know, I need to get some new outfits for the Sexy Liberal Tour. Lady Gaga is dressed like a panda in Japan. She was wearing, look at this, like curtains yesterday in Sydney. I need to get some more site-specific sort of... Maybe I should dress like Plymouth Rock this Saturday for... Austin, I don't feel like I'm putting enough effort into my wardrobe, my sexy liberal wardrobe. I just always wear some see-through shirt.
Yeah, just put on a Celtics jersey, you'll be fine.
Nothing else.
Yeah. Just a Celtics jersey.
Hello now, and some knee pumps. Wow, I don't know if I'd go to the Grove here in L.A. this summer. Guess who's running it?
Who?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's 17-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
That's his summer job, running the Grove.
Wow.
Well, can he get that parking garage
Can he do something
fixed?
About that? That
Please?
Sucks.
God, that's the worst parking garage in the world.
Oh, I hate it. Okay.
Yes, rich people's problems.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, so is Arnold, is good friends with the guy who developed it. He said he wanted to, his son is interested in mall management, so he gave him a job running the Grove.
And he has no qualifications, just like I didn't when I became governor.
He's 17. Exactly. He has no qualifications for anything.
Well, exactly. Well, as Jim points out, neither did the governor.
No, there you go.
Speaking of the Sperminator, he has lost out on the biggest book deal of all time, reportedly. He was about to sign the biggest book deal ever before the news broke.
Ever?
About the
like in the history of the world?
Maybe.
Wow.
After the scandal, it's Maria Shriver's book the publishers are chasing, sources tell Page Six. T and then a he. Fresh off his term as governor, Schwarzenegger had big plans to preserve his legacy. Publishers now say he's untouchable following the scandal, that he's no longer the sympathetic character he once was.
Hmm.
Oh, dear. That's
whatever.
Maybe he could just call it I Broke My Femur or something. How about In Things of This Nature? Oh, please
things
let him call
nature.
His book In Things of This Nature. These kinds of things. All right, the D-listed headline, Stepford Katie Holmes continues to say creepy. Katie...
No.
She talks about how she regularly buys maternity clothes, even though she's not planning to be pregnant. She's buying them for her 5-year-old daughter, Suri.
What?
Because she wants her to have plenty of pretty maternity clothes when she gets... She's 5.
She's... What?
She said, I'll buy something with her in mind, thinking it's going to look so great on her when she's 25 or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Who buys maternity clothes for their 5-year-old? I don't.
Someone married to Tom Cruise.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay. Jerry Seinfeld selling his Colorado home for $18 million.
Who are these people who don't have $18 million?
As Rick Gordon says, I'm telling the wrong kind of jokes. I need to start telling those kind of jokes. All right, don't forget, join us tomorrow for Fridays with John Fugelsang and the Reverend Jim Wallace. I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and what's your name? Oh, Chris LaVoy. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.